Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettillo along with Mario Harraz, running things behind the scenes. And on our Oakland Hard Jewelers talk and text line, out in California, Deuce McAllister. Deuce, thanks so much for joining us. There wasn't any fights in this this pajama and slipper walkthrough today, right?
Nah, no fights in your walkthrough. I mean, it's basically, hey, you know, what can you correct? And that's basically it. I mean, it's, so it's short and sweet in that aspect of it.
Deuce, probably more than any of us around, you could address the knee injury. You've had more than a couple throughout your football career, but the sprained MCL with Alvin Kamara, and we all know as you get older, it sometimes takes a little longer to come back from an injury. I talked to a couple of orthopedic doctors today that told me normal time frame is 4 to 5 weeks. Now, some guys heal up a little bit quicker than others, but from your experience to have the knee injury, your thoughts on the MCL injury to Alvin?
Yeah, unfortunate, because like I said, it was talked about it yesterday, and it was an injury that his teammate kind of rolled him up. And so Alvin is about to take on a linebacker in the hole, and Malik kind of gets blocked into Alvin. And so Alvin doesn't see him. I mean, he doesn't see him because he gets hit from the side. He doesn't go down, but he feels it. And so you can see him kind of limp a little bit, and he jogged a little bit, walked, and, you know, he walks with the trainer to the little tent over there to get checked out. I mean, but it was before then. He had had a couple of nice runs and had a really good, you know, scrimmage or whatever we want to call it up until that point. And like you talked about, I mean, each person is different. And the thing with the injury, it's not so much going forward, because he'll be able to run forward. That won't be the issue. The issue will be planning. The issue will be stopping and starting. And how does he feel doing that? And so, you know, whether it's 4 to 5 weeks, I've seen guys come back 2 to 4 weeks. I mean, the one thing that you don't want to do is kind of rush back so soon where it's still bothering you throughout the year. And so for Alvin, you know, he'll get a couple of different opinions on how he wants to attack it and try to get himself ready to play, you know, and just make sure that it is something that doesn't continue to linger for him. And so, you know, we looked at what Kendre was able to do with his ACL injury, and, you know, even yesterday being able to go out there not having a brace on, not having a sleeve or anything like that on, you know, that just tells you about the work that he was able to put in. And, you know, I expect Alvin to kind of do something similar as well, as far as the work to get himself ready to go and be able to play, you know, whatever that timeline may be.
You brought it up. I was going to ask you about it because, you know, far early on, I told this to Bob, man, Kendra Miller, I mean, from just a pure talent standpoint, I mean, he's got it. And at a high level, I did not know that he could come back this quickly from the injury and look this good. Then he gets banged up, and I think you and I saw it. I think he was in pass protection. He kind of got run over, and that's when he hurt, I think it was his hip. But it opens the door for Kendra and also Devin Neal that, hey, you got an opportunity here. And we all kind of thought maybe Audric Estime is the number three guy. And he may still be that way, but now he's fighting an injury. It opens the door again for Kendra and Devin Neal.
Yeah, it definitely opens the door back up for him. And, you know, I still felt like that the door was open, except now, you know, it's really probably for both of those guys. I mean, and so for the Saints, they'll do their due diligence. So I wouldn't be surprised one bit if they don't bring another back into that fold. And when I say that, you know, particularly a veteran back, and say, hey, you know, we'll give you this opportunity, but we prefer to go with the younger guys that we have here that know the system and kind of understand it. I mean, because at the end of the day, you're going to have guys that are healthy. You know, I expect Estime to be able to kind of, you know, we hadn't heard the high ankle sprain, so we're just figuring that it's just an ankle sprain and not a high ankle sprain. So you figure, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he should be fine and ready to go. But, you know, with Devin, he's kind of dealt with injury, and Kendre has dealt with injury as far as his back was concerned. And you know, even yesterday he looked pretty good. He and both Devin looked good running the ball. Kendrick was probably running a little high, you know, on some of those carries. But, you know, nonetheless, he's out there. And you know that you're going to get 4 to 5 yards with him being able to run the ball. The question is now, not having Alvin potentially for that first week, from a roster standpoint, carrying four backs. I mean, you know, is that something that they feel like that they have to do? And which four will they be? And you talk about, all right, your initial 53, if Alvin is going to make it, you know, do you sit him out or put him on injury reserve? And now he's out an additional couple of weeks. I mean, because, like, all right, today you've got 2 weeks technically, or right around 2.5 weeks until your first game in September, maybe a little longer. So, you know, theoretically, if it is truly 4 weeks, you could probably get Alvin back for that second game, you know, against Baltimore. But, you know, we'll see kind of how that rehab process is going for him and, you know, what he's able to do, if anything, prior to. And they can kind of make that evaluation of where those other guys are. You know, hopefully they don't have another episode as far as injuries are concerned. And, you know, you can try to make that evaluation.
Deuce, from what you talked about yesterday, from what I was able to read and see, man, Tyler Shuck yesterday, he was cooking with hot, you know, he cooking that fried fish in hot grease. Man, he got hot. And Chris Olave, a big part of that in that target, but he threw a pass to Noah Fant right over the top of the defender. That was so sweet to see. But talk a little bit about yesterday and just how hot. And I brought this up to Bob about, you know, a lot of times with quarterbacks, they have to almost be put in a game situation. Some are great in practice. Some are good to very good. Some don't play well in practice. You got to put them in a game situation. But yesterday, what Shuck was throwing and his connection to Chris Olave, but that throw to Noah Fant was sweet, right over the top of that defender.
Yeah, and it was kind of a corner route when you talk about the Noah Fant. They were in the red zone, and it was the ball placement was outstanding. You know, it was interesting because the push that the defender, it was similar to what Tyson got, how Tyson got pushed on the sideline. And so, you know, Noah was able to continue to run and kind of braced himself. There was a heel, or I don't even know what you call it, right there on the sideline, but he was able to brace himself and run up it and kind of roll after that. But it was really a really good throw, and that's just a placement throw, and hey, my guy's going to be able to go and get it. And that's exactly what Noah did. And you talk about just hot and cooking with fish grease. I mean, they were dropping brim in that grease. They were dropping some catfish. They had some trout. They scaled the some redfish and put it on the grill for you a little bit. I mean, and so that's just the entree or what they had as far as he and Chris Olave, the connection, because I probably had one pass to Chris Olave that wasn't an explosive play as far as over 10 yards. There was one check down that was maybe 7 or 8 yards. Everything else, I mean, I know he had three catches that were plus 15. I mean, and you, the one video, I can't remember exactly who it was, a big fuss of whether it was a catch or not. I'll tell you this, the officials ruled it a catch. That were there. You can go back and look at it and say, well, it hit the ground. Yeah, the ball can technically hit the ground. The question is, can you control it? You don't have to have your hands up under it to be able to control it. Even if the nose of the football hits the ground, that is legal, as long as you're controlling it. But, hey, you know, that's an argument for – we're arguing over a 20-yard catch. And so whether it's a catch or not, but I had, in my estimation, 9 for 9 as far as targets are concerned, and at least probably 120 yards with the tutty as well, which a touchdown. I mean, and so in the red zone, he did have a touchdown, kind of like a little short post or slant route that he was able to just catch it, get perfectly thrown pass where he could go and get it. And, you know, whether you get hit, he did get tackled on it, but he extended the ball away from the defender where he couldn't rake it out. And I just thought that was a really, really good job. Now, I will say this. Everything was not perfect for Tyler because there was one throw over the middle that he did force in the red zone to Chris Olave. And that was one that I thought he should have probably went on to the outside. Juwan had gotten inside leverage on his defender. And that was probably the throw. I don't know if he liked it. And that being Tyler early, just from the look, and the safety was just in the middle of the field. Ball was probably a little high to Chris anyway. And if Chris would have went up, he probably would have got dislodged just because the safety was in the middle of the field. That was one that I felt like Tyler forced. But outside of that, there were not many forces as far as throws were concerned.
Deuce, what are you expecting tomorrow with Saints-Rams? One of the things I'm intrigued about, man, the Rams, they got tight ends coming out the kazoo, both ways. And how the Saints match up, because I think the Rams are an intriguing team where they use so much 12 personnel, two tight ends, and 13 personnel, three tight ends. You're going to see that a lot. And that's one of the things I want to see, how well they match up from a coverage standpoint. And we all know the Rams run off of that a lot also. So to answer that question, and also what else are you looking for as the Saints go up against the Rams in the padded practice?
I wouldn't be surprised if you see some of maybe your starters. I know a lot of the starters have participated, but the way some of them have kind of left, we talked about Alvin. One guy we hadn't talked about was Quincy Riley, you know, who left with the groin injury. Vele kind of got the veteran day yesterday. He's expected to go tomorrow. You didn't have Christian Miller. You didn't have Godshaw. I don't know if those guys will go, but if I'm the Saints, I want my veterans to get some work. But I'm starting to pull back. I'm getting a little cautious with some of the work that I give, you know, a guy like Olave, a guy like even A-Chain, you know, Travis. I may be selective on some of the things that he does, you know, and that's probably the same way I know you talk about your star corner, you know, being able to go out there. Kool-Aid, you know, Kool-Aid, I want you to go against Devontae. I don't know if Puka is going to go tomorrow. I know he's been banged up a little bit as well. So I'm probably, if I'm the Saints, this is me. You know, I don't know they're going to do what they do. But if it's me, I'm going to start pulling back some of those reps for those guys because I don't want them to kind of get banged up. And I need to be healthy as you get ready to head into the regular season. And I do know, hey, look, you still got, you know, two preseason games, and that's great. Yes. But for some of those guys, there's no question of, you know, a starter or two or however many, you know, 20 positions you feel really, really good about. And so I'm not going to lose one of those guys just for a practice, if so to speak. But, I mean, some work has to be done. How they divide that work, we'll kind of wait and see. But you're always looking, you know, from a coverage standpoint. You know, Blackman had another interception. That is something that he has done. He did it against them last year. Now, how much work does Matt Stafford get? We don't know. Kind of have to wait and see how much work that Matt does get. He didn't practice last year. He had the back injury against us. And so, you know, will it be a lot of Simpson? Will it be one of their other quarterbacks? You know, we'll have to just wait and see how that all unfolds. But, you know, we'll check it out, and we'll give you a great report on it as well.
Man, Julian Blackman, just stay healthy, brother, because that dude can play. And he can play at a high level.
He could definitely play at a high level. And, I mean, his ball skills, we probably haven't seen somebody like that since probably Williams was manning the middle of the field. And, I mean, with range when I say that. You know, obviously, you had Tyron back there as well. And Tyron, when he touched the ball, you knew he was going to catch it. That's the same way you feel about Julian as far as that is concerned. Every time he touched it, you know he's going to catch it. And so you feel really, really good about that.
Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great to talk to you about Saints football, brother.
All right. Appreciate it, my friend.
All righty. Deuce McAllister from California, and they'll be giving updates tomorrow on the Saints padded practice sessions with the L.A. Rams. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Guys, let's talk for a second. When it comes to performance in the bedroom, hey, we all know good isn't good enough. And performance does matter. So that's why Blue Chew just upped the performance bar by introducing Blue Chew Gold, the revolutionary 4-in-1 upgrade that targets both your brain and your body. Hey, this is the future of performance. Faster, smarter, and precision engineered for gold medal results. And do we have a deal for you? You can get 10% off your first month of Blue Chew Gold by using the code word Mike. That's right, promo code Mike. And it's all shipped to you in a discreet package. And be the gold medal winner in the bedroom when the time is right. No longer just chew it and do it. Hey, just put it under your tongue, and within 15 minutes, you're ready to rock and roll. Go to BlueChew.com for more details and safety information. Again, visit BlueChew.com and be the champ when the time is right. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike DeTillo along with Mario Jerez running things behind the scenes. And, man, great interview with Deuce McAllister. Always informative when Deuce is watching practice and talking to us about what's going on with the Saints. Saints football is back, baby. The black and gold take on the Rams in L.A. Saturday. Remember to turn down your TV and turn up Saints radio. Hey, that's right here on the Big 870 WWL. Pre-game at 11 o'clock, kickoff at 3 p.m., and then the point after till 9 p.m. with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert. All on WWL Radio and free on the Odyssey app. When we come back, we'll have Glenn West on with us to talk about LSU football right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike DeTillo along with Mario Jerez running things on the board today. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, we have on with us Glenn West from Bengal Tiger on 3. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Mike, doing well. Just gearing up for hopefully some football here in a few weeks. So I'm excited to finally get back to some football, but we got to get through a few more weeks of fall camp beforehand.
On defense, has Whit Weeks and Dottery been the alphas there? Because those are the guys, you know, Whit Weeks, this team's much better on defense when he's in the lineup. We didn't know exactly how injured he was even last year, but he's certainly a playmaker. And Dottery, we've seen him the last couple years at Ole Miss, where, man, he's a magnet to the football and the ball carrier. Have those two guys really been the two leaders on the defensive side of the ball?
I would say they've been two of them. I mean, they're certainly two of the more experienced defensive players on the team in terms of just all the SEC reps that they have under their belt. I would throw in Ty Benefield, though, the safety, and then also Principal Umar Mielen at edge. I think those are kind of your core four guys, and you know, you'd like to have at least one big time voice in each level of the defense. And I think that LSU has some real great experience, some real great talent there that has stepped up and are going to be those leaders. But certainly when you talk about Weeks and Dottery at linebacker, those are the two that are going to be kind of organizing everybody and you know, making sure that they're all set up in the right way. And so I do think that they have been very vocal leaders, and it's been great that Whit Weeks has been able to have a full off season now where he's stayed healthy and looks to be running around and moving very well. And so we know also how close that Weeks is with Blake Baker, the defensive coordinator. So that's obviously a really important relationship in this defense as well. So I do think that those two have really stood out from a leadership perspective. And that's what you hope at the linebacker spot in the middle of that defense.
At the safety position, the emergence of Chase Thomas, and, you know, he certainly has the pedigree. His dad, Fred, you know, played in the NFL for a long time at corner. He was all over the board at Destrehan. He was wide receiver, corner, safety, you name it. He played it. And I think everybody sort of thought he'd probably be running with the twos, and he has really made a strong run to be a starter on this football team.
Yeah, he really has. And, you know, it never count out the Destrehan guys. I mean, there's, nope. You know, Phillip Wright is a wide receiver that's very much rising up the program right now. Jabari Mack is another really talented young receiver. But, you know, in terms of those guys, Jace Thomas absolutely will have an opportunity to play and play very meaningful snaps for LSU this year. He's been one of the more surprise stories, I think, of fall camp. You know, he got some run in the first team back in spring ball, but that was also because Benefield and Cooley were kind of not participating for parts of spring camp as well. You know, Cooley was dealing with a little bit of an injury. I think they just wanted to manage the reps to Ty Benefield. So Jace Thomas and Fahim Delane both really got a lot of experience playing next to one another back in the spring.
And that momentum is certainly carried over here in the fall, because I do believe that Jace Thomas and Delane too, I think, will compete for snaps with Cooley there to go alongside Benefield. So but Jace Thomas has done a really, really nice job and has a lot of fans in the program, certainly on the defensive side of the ball. I think he's made some really great strides here in his second off season, and is looking like he's going to be able to cash in on him as well.
Coach Kiffin has talked about defensive end Carpenter, and he looks to me to be kind of a little bit taller, maybe a little bit lengthier version of Jack Pyburn, who was on the team last year, and who knows where Jack will end up, because he got a temporary restraining order. He may end up back in college football, and who knows what else, because Ole Miss has got three of them that could potentially come back also. But your thoughts on Carpenter at defensive end? It's an area where they certainly could use, and not that he has a ton of experience, but he's been there, done that, and he's a from watching him, he's a technically sound edge guy.
Yeah, another really good story here in fall camp that's been developing. Bo Bordelon on the offensive line has been a great offensive story. But on defense, you know, Carpenter has really had some increased opportunities here, especially this week with Jordan Ross missing a couple practices in a row. So he's actually been running with the first team opposite of Princewell Umanmielen there for a couple practices now, and is doing really good work. I mean, he's a veteran guy. He's been in this system now for 3 years. You mentioned the playing time. He got more and more of it last year as guys went down with injuries and such, and he really had, I think, a lot of increased opportunities last year in this defense, and so seemed to learn a lot, and he stuck with it, right? You love stories like that where guys, especially in-state guys, who just love being in this program and love being at LSU, who don't, bolt after a couple years of maybe not playing as much as they would like. So Carpenter's been a great story. I would imagine that he gets a lot of run this year as well, whether it's next to Umanmielen or substituting and rotating in with Jordan Ross and Lamar Brown. But he's been a really bright spot here in fall camp. And, yeah, to your point about Pyburn, man, these are just wild times. I mean, like, this guy this last week, we had two sacks for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and now he's looking at another backup option here with potentially coming back to school if that's something that opens the door here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, it is crazy times. And, again, it could help if he decides to come back to LSU. I don't know how he feels about it. Also could really help Ole Miss, because if Xavier Harris is healthy and Dejon Wright, man, he's still in camp with the Browns at the time. Man, you talk about a good-looking tight end. He's that. He's a force once he catches the ball downfield. I want to ask you, who is running – as the three and four corners on this LSU team? We know who the starters are going to be, but who would be the third corner and fourth corner for LSU?
Yeah, I think right now you're probably looking at Jakeem Jackson, and then Michael Turner is probably your backup corners on this team right now. I think Havon Finney is a young player who certainly has a lot of respect and potential in this program long term. But, he should be starting his senior year of high school this season. And so, to really I think he's made some great strides already this offseason, but I think to throw him out there into the fire of SEC play might be a little too quick, a little too hasty. So Jackson's played well, and Michael Turner has really played well too. I think he has always been a guy to me that just practices really well. I mean, I remember watching him as a true freshman and just thinking that, he needed to add some weight, of course, but that he could hold his own. He could drop back in coverage and do a really nice job. And he's now added some weight. I think he's around the same size as PJ Woodland. And so maybe a little taller than PJ too. So I do think that Michael Turner's a guy that, we could see in that rotation a little bit, but it's really going to have to start with Pickett and Woodland and keeping those two healthy throughout the course of the season, because those guys, I would imagine, are going to get the overwhelming majority of your snaps as long as they're on the field and able to play.
Glenn, last question for you. And this would be, I'm a big believer in special teams. I think more and more, as college football mirrors the NFL, man, field position, big play opportunities. I think the running back core, Harlan Bellary and Caden Durham, they'll get some shots as in the kickoff return game. But right now, who would you say would be maybe their top two punt returners?
It's a great question. We don't have a whole ton of access to the special teams at this point, so it's a little bit of a mystery. But back in the spring, I will tell you, the guys that really stood out to me were Trey Wilson, the transfer from Florida, and then Phillip Wright, you know, the second-year wide receiver out of Destrehan. Those two guys definitely got some reps back in the spring at punt returner. I don't know how much it's changed here in the fall, but I would imagine those are two guys that LSU's still looking very closely at as potential punt returners for this team.
All I can tell you is, I don't know how clean Phillip Wright will catch a punt, but if he catches it, you better catch him in fast. Because once he's going to get one step and up the field, you got troubles, brother. Because Phillip Wright can flat out fly out on the football field.
Yeah, he's a great athlete and somebody that I think LSU is looking to get a lot more opportunities for here in his second season because he's earned it.
Glenn, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great insights. Always enjoy you joining us here on Sports Talk.
Yeah, no, thank you guys. I always appreciate you reaching out and happy to do it anytime. So thank you so much for having me on.
Appreciate it. Glenn West from Bengal Tiger on 3. We'll have more Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. From the bustling docks of New Orleans to the heart of the Bayou region and the port of Mobile, Cummins is the trusted backbone of the Gulf's maritime industry. At Cummins, they don't just provide engines. They provide the reliability required to navigate the toughest waters. The Gulf Coast never sleeps, and neither do the folks at Cummins. Whether you're operating offshore or along the inland waterways, you have 24/7 access to the industry's largest and most capable sales, service, and support networks around. Give them a call at 1-800-CUMMINS. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Mario Jerez running things all smooth with Mario today. And so we want to tell everybody, hey, this is your city, your host, your news. Take WWL everywhere you go today. Listen live right now on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn app. Just search WWL and stay connected to what matters most to you. We'll finish it up here in hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. All right. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Mario Jerez running things behind the scenes. Some breaking NFL news from Adam Schefter. I got to laugh because during the week, we had a couple people, and it was different phone numbers, so it couldn't be the same dude, saying, man, I got inside information. The Saints are close to a deal to acquire Vita Vey from Tampa Bay Bucks. And my deal is, what? Man, give me a couple of puffs of that gory because that ain't happening. He's staying with Tampa Bay. And if they trade him, they ain't trading him to a team in their own division. I guarantee. But Adam Schefter is reporting two-time Pro Bowler Vita Vey and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have reached agreement on a one-year extension, which gives him $30 million. Tying him up to the Tampa Bay Bucs for two more seasons, he gets $6 million in new money. And so for anybody thinking that the Bucs were going to get rid of Vita Vey, come on, they don't have much of a pass rush to begin with and guys that can clog up everything up front. Why would you get rid of Vita Vey? And we're talking about $6 million extra? Man, in the NFL, that's kind of chump change. So Vita Vey has re-signed and come up with an agreement, a one-year extension that'll give him $30 million, $6 million in new money. Here's the bad news. The Saints got to play him twice a year now for the next 3 years, man. And you talk about a man in the middle, and that's Vita Vea. And, you know, he's 340-plus pounds, but he moves like a 240-pound man. Just a tremendous athlete for his size, his ability to cave in the middle. A lot of times you see, you know, he takes on the center and guard. The Buccaneers linebackers have a free shot into the backfield to get after the ball carrier or the quarterback. But if you thought Vita Vea was leaving Tampa, you can forget it. He is signed to a new one-year contract, $30 million. And again, it will be 1 year added to the 2 years he's already got on, and he gets an additional $6 million for it. And you know, when you're playing in Florida, you got that no state tax, that adds up pretty good for Vita Vea. So Vita Vea isn't going anywhere. But again, you know, this time of year, you got some veterans that feel as though, hey, listen, I see what a lot of these younger guys are getting. They don't have the skins on the wall that I put up as a player, and I want to get paid more. And Vita has some leverage there with the Buccaneers. And, boy, they're a team up front. If they don't get better as a pass rush team, they in trouble. Because last year we saw teams sort of carve them up. And, you know, Mayfield, understand, was hurt last year late in the season because they had the NFC South in their pocket and just could not finish it off. And all of a sudden, the Panthers ends up winning the NFC South. But Vita Vea staying in Tampa Bay. Want to tell everybody, Steve Geller joins Sports Talk after 6 o'clock. He'll have on with him Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, who is out in California covering the Saints, and covered the walkthrough today, and also will be previewing the Saints-Rams scrimmage tomorrow. And we'll have all that coverage here on the Big 870 WWL, giving you all the insights on what happened during the scrimmage process. And also in the 7 o'clock hour, Steve will have Andrew Erickson. Man, I can't tell you how many people call me this time of year, fantasy football. They give me somebody. I'm drafting 9th in the 2nd round. And, you know, these are the players that I think will get picked ahead. And so, man, it's a big thing. I remember a few years back, Roger Goodell talking about, you know, fantasy football isn't gambling. Well, he must not be looking at that fantasy football places that I get involved with, because they got some coin that's changing hands there.